This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Friday, June 8th, 2018. Coming up this hour.
Global equities fall ahead of a G7 summit where trade disputes take center stage.
Ben Bernanke warns of slowing economic growth and challenges ahead for the Fed.
Argentina secures a $50 billion loan from the IMF.
ZTE vows to overhaul its management after striking a deal with the U.S.
President Trump says he could invite Kim Jong-un to the U.S. if a summit with a North Korean leader goes well. I'm John Tucker. That story straight ahead.
I'm Rob Buschka. Coming up in sports, while the Yankees and Mets had the night off, Alex Ovechkin and the Capitals did not. They're the Stanley Cup champions.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Global equities are falling ahead of a G7 summit where trade disputes will take center stage. It is coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Futures are lower. S&P futures down 17 points. Dow futures down 162. NASDAQ futures down 72. The DAX in Germany is down 1.1%. CAC in Paris down 0.4%. The FTSE 100 down 0.9%. Nikkei 225 in Japan down 0.6% today, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong fell 1.8%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 2.90%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.47%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.5% or 32 cents to $65.63 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed up 10 cents to $13.03.10 an ounce. The euro, $1.1761, and the yen, 109.32. Bob.
An unusually tense G7 summit kicks off today in Canada, with President Trump finding himself under fire over tariffs imposed on U.S. allies. Bloomberg's Josh Wingrove reports from Quebec.
Trump and others like Angela Merkel, Emmanuel Macron, and Justin Trudeau will meet in Quebec beginning late this morning, with the economy top on the agenda, and that means trade. Macron in particular is sparring with Trump. Things may not get a chance to get too heated. Trump will leave early Saturday, missing sessions on climate and oceans. In Quebec City, Josh Wingrove, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Josh, thank you. President Trump arrives in Quebec at 10 a.m. and has bilateral meetings scheduled with President Emmanuel Macron and Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. He departs early tomorrow to head to Singapore for his summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. That leaves the president about 24 hours to meet with allies and try to defuse tensions over tariffs. J.P. Morgan equity strategist Grace Peters expects trade discussions to dominate the agenda.
Ultimately, I think there's a lot of tit-for-tat that goes on, and there will be oscillation from both parties as they try to negotiate, but negotiate is what we think they will do.
Upon his departure, President Trump will leave Everett Eisenstadt, his deputy assistant for international economic affairs, in charge for the remaining G7 sessions.
Chinese company ZTE is pledging to overhaul its flawed management after striking a deal with the U.S. to get back in business. Bloomberg's Selena Wang has details.
Regardless of these changes, this is a huge win for ZTE. This is no longer going to cause the company to shut down. They'll be able to have access to critical key components that they need to make their telecoms gear, and it means that they're still going to be able to function. That being said, they may still have a lot of trouble and potentially lose market share in both the telecom space as well as the smartphone space.
Sources tell Bloomberg ZTE could incur losses of at least $3 billion as a result of the U.S. ban that halted operations.
On the economic front, China's trade surplus fell in May to just under $25 billion. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis reports from Hong Kong.
Exports rose 12.6% year-on-year against an estimate of 11.1%. Imports jumped 26%, and that led to the sharply lower trade surplus of $24.9 billion. Now, the numbers suggest that both domestic and international demand are strong and somewhat unaffected by the trade frictions with the United States. Of course, it's also possible that with risks looming, exporters and importers expedited sales to get ahead of any actions. In Hong Kong, I'm Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Brian. In Japan, revised data show GDP shrank 0.6% in the first quarter, falling short of estimates. Private consumption remains soft, but analysts expect Japan's expansion to resume in the second quarter.
In Argentina, the government has secured $50 billion in backing by the International Monetary Fund. The standby arrangement with the IMF is a move to help restore investor confidence as the government takes aim at double-digit inflation and a widening budget deficit. The loan to Argentina is the largest in IMF history.
We're getting industrial production data out of Germany this morning. Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek joins us live from London with details. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Karen and Bob. German industrial production unexpectedly falling in April. That continues a run of poor economic news out of the country. The data dropped by 1% in the month. That was versus an estimate of 0.3% increase. Combine that with a sharp decline in factory orders, which was reported earlier this week. And that indicates a moderate pace of expansion at the start of the second quarter. The euro trading about 0.3% lower. In London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Sebastian. Here in the U.S., Ben Bernanke says economic growth could face a challenging slowdown as the Trump administration's fiscal stimulus fades.
What you're getting is a stimulus at the very wrong moment that the economy is already at full employment. So you're getting hit by a big stimulus, which on the current law, we'll see what happens, whether it's renewed or not, but on current law, it's going to hit the economy in a big way this year and next year. And then in 2020, the Wile E. Coyote is going to go off the cliff.
In remarks at the American Enterprise Institute in Washington, Bernanke also said tax cuts and increased federal spending will make the Federal Reserve's job more difficult.
Tightening from the Fed could be what eventually slows down global economic growth. So says George Roberts, the billionaire co-founder of KKR. He sat down for an exclusive interview with Bloomberg.
There's a lot of uncertainty, a lot of noise in the world. That's always going to be the case in a global economy that we have. But the underlying fundamentals are pretty good. Barring any geopolitical issues, I think what will eventually slow our economy down is rising interest rates.
The Fed meets next week when it's widely expected to hike interest rates.
And on the corporate front, shares of Apple down 2.2% in early trading. The move follows a Nikkei report that Apple told its supply chain to prepare for 20% fewer iPhone components later this year. S&P futures down about 17 points. Dow futures down 164. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:07 on Wall Street. The very latest now on the Mueller investigation. Good morning, John Tucker.
And good morning, Bob. This week, the special counsel Robert Mueller accused former Trump campaign chair Paul Manafort of witness tampering. Now we may know who those witnesses were as we hear from Bloomberg's Nathan Hager.
Sources tell Bloomberg they were Alan Friedman and Eckhart Sagart, former executives at the now defunct London-based firm FBC Communications. The two had done pro-Ukraine lobbying with Manafort, and the sources say Manafort and an associate sent them encrypted texts to try to get them to describe that work as limited to Europe to avoid breaking U.S. law. Prosecutors say Friedman and Sagart didn't respond to those texts. One of them told prosecutors they thought they were being induced to commit perjury. In Washington, I'm Nathan Hager, Bloomberg Radio.
President Trump welcomed Japan's prime minister to the White House Thursday to discuss the president's upcoming summit with North Korea's Kim Jong-un.
All I can say is I am totally prepared to walk away. I did it once before.
The president will meet with Kim on Tuesday in Singapore. During a joint news conference, the president said he could invite Kim to the U.S. if the summit goes well. The hearings over social media security in Congress don't appear to be over. Let's get that story in this report from Bloomberg's Ed Baxter.
Top members of the Senate Intelligence Committee want the CEOs of Facebook, Alphabet, and Twitter to appear at a public hearing to answer questions about security of their platforms, including relationships with Chinese telecommunication firms. Bloomberg's Sarah Fryer.
Facebook said earlier this week that these deals with Chinese manufacturers are commonplace in the industry, and now they have their proof that Google and Twitter also had relationships.
She says, bringing up the fact that we haven't had a clear picture of how our data is being used and shared. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The Trump administration is siding with Texas in that state's bid to convince a federal judge that Obamacare is largely unconstitutional. Attorneys for the Justice Department said in a court filing Thursday, since Congress repealed a penalty for not having insurance in its tax reform package last year, much of the rest of the insurance statute becomes unconstitutional and must be struck down. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Bob.
Thanks, John. We move along to 6:09 on Wall Street. That is time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. And good morning to you, Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Bob. A rarity that both the Mets and Yankees were off, so all eyes on the Stanley Cup Final from Las Vegas.
And as the puck drops, the words that D.C. fans have been waiting to hear since 1974, the Washington Capitals are the 2018 Stanley Cup champions. It's not a dream. It's not a desert mirage. It's Lord Stanley, and he is coming to Washington.
Caps radio on the call as Washington wins their first Stanley Cup in franchise history, beating the Las Vegas Golden Knights in 5 games, 4-3. Future Hall of Famer Alex Ovechkin, after 14 years in the league, has finally reached the top of his sport. Ovechkin finished the postseason with 15 goals, including one in Game 5, and was named the Conn Smythe winner, awarded to the final MVP. Baseball, the Yankees and Mets throw down this weekend in the annual Subway Series from Citi Field. Tonight, 7-10 gets us started. Yankees enter play with the fewest losses in the game at 18. They're a half game back of Boston, who hosts the White Sox. Chris Sale goes against his former club. Mets headed the wrong direction, losing 8 of their last 10. They're in fourth place. Masahiro Tanaka takes on Jacob deGrom. One note is Sunday's game is 8 p.m., nationally televised, when Luis Severino meets Noah Syndergaard. NFL news, it took the flamboyant wide receiver Terrell Owens 4 years to get into the Hall of Fame. Now he says he'll be a no-show at the enshrinement ceremony in Canton on August 4th. In tennis, French Open from Roland Garros, the semifinals underway at 7 a.m. and again at 9:30 when top-seeded Rafael Nadal plays. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Thank you, Rob Buschka. We'd be glad to have you join us tonight for Bloomberg Business of Sports when we speak to a man who wears many hats as part owner of the Golden State Warriors, Los Angeles Dodgers, and Soccer's L.A. Football Club. He's Mandalay Entertainment Chairman Peter Guber, who joins us tonight at 8 and tomorrow morning at 11 on Bloomberg Radio. Or download the Bloomberg Business of Sports Apple Podcast on iTunes. S&P Futures down 15 points. This is Daybreak. The Sports Report was brought to you by Investors Bank. Connect with the experts at Investors Bank with strong relationships and customized solutions. They work with your business every step of the way. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, 6:17 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. President Trump lashed out on Twitter against Canada and the EU ahead of today's G7 summit. President Trump warns them to take down trade barriers or the US will match them. Brazil's central bank chief called a press conference after another round of currency swaps damaged the real. He vows to intervene and dip into the nation's FX reserves to fend off attacks. China's massive trade surplus shrank in May, but its surplus with the US swelled to nearly $25 billion. China's exports rose 12.6% in May, while imports surged 26%. And Alan Howard reportedly shorted Italian bonds before the recent political turmoil. The Financial Times says the hedge fund boss believed Italian risk was mispriced and bet the spread between Italian and German yields would widen sharply. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
Hannah George, thank you. S&P futures down 14 points. Dow futures down 139. NASDAQ futures down 62. The DAX in Germany's down 0.9%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 2.91%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.47%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.7% or 46 cents to $65.50 a barrel. COMEX gold that'll change at $13.03.20 an ounce. The euro, $1.1749. The yen, 109.30. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
And good morning, Karen. Yeah, President Trump does head to the Group of Seven summit in Quebec today. The president will leave the G7 early and head straight to Singapore to meet with the North Korean leader, Kim Jong-un. China's massive trade surplus with the world shrank in May, Unfortunately for the ongoing tensions with President Trump, the surplus with the U.S. didn't. And the Trump administration siding with Texas in that state's bid to convince a federal judge that Obamacare is largely unconstitutional. Sports, the Caps win their first ever Stanley Cup. Baseball, the Mets host the Yankees tonight. Last night, the Red Sox and the Orioles lost. The A's won. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Bob.
John, thanks very much. Global equities are sliding ahead of that unusually tense G7 summit where trade disputes are taking center stage. Seems all week long, investors have done their best to put it out of their minds. Today, it's in our faces, and President Trump is putting it right out there this morning. He has just tweeted this about 3 or 4 minutes ago. He says, Canada charges the U.S. a 270% tariff on dairy products. They didn't tell you that, did they? Not fair to our farmers. Bloomberg economics and policy correspondent Michael McKee is joining us now. Michael, he's just not going to let this rest.
No, Donald Trump doesn't like to be attacked, and the world is attacking him. And so it is going to be a very tense, very difficult meeting in Quebec this, today. And I would have said this weekend, but he's not staying for the weekend. We had an amazing statement by Emmanuel Macron, the president of France. These are the people who are supposed to be U.S. allies, saying that he was perfectly willing to sign a statement with the five other countries condemning the U.S. if Donald Trump doesn't give on this issue. And this tweet this morning that you're talking about shows again, unfortunately, that the president doesn't really understand how the world trading system works, which makes it much more difficult because he's defending a simple proposition that the trade deficit should be lower without understanding how it's put together or why it happens.
I confess to scratching my head about this. Has the White House said anything about the wisdom of picking a fight with our friends?
No, and that has an awful lot of people confused, not just picking a fight with our friends, but making nice with the people who had theoretically been our enemies. I don't want to, make it a capital E enemy, but the Russians, the North Koreans, the president is saying very nice things about them and saying terrible things about Canada. I mean, everybody likes Canadians. It's kind of hard to believe at this point what is going on. And what is going to worry the markets is, where does this go? I mean, how does this, what's the end game here? If he's going to be this kind of angry at Canada, how do you prevent a trade war with countries that you're really upset with that have a much bigger weight in the global economy?
He is going to leave this G7 summit early. That sort of helps him save face a little bit, doesn't it?
That's what this is about. There's no reason he needs to leave. He's going to leave 4 hours early, but it's going to mean he can't attend the events on Saturday. It gets him out of the crosshairs of the criticism from the G7 countries. It isn't going to make a difference in his preparation for Kim Jong-un meeting in Singapore. So it's really just sort of transparent. I have to go because I'm the leader of the United States, but I'm not staying and I'm not going to do a lot of interaction with you.
You and I have covered a lot of these G7 summits, and I confess to not recalling a more tense summit like this. I mean, this time it is different.
It is very different. I've never seen anything like this. And I was at the G7 finance ministers meeting last weekend in Whistler, British Columbia. And it's the first time I had ever seen a country singled out the way the U.S. was. You know that in the past they've said the Chinese should bring down a tariff or the Japanese should buy more products. Or remember the 1990s, they used to tell us to bring down the twin deficits, the budget and trade deficits. But to start off a statement saying we're not doing a communique because we can't all agree, but we all, except for the United States, agree that the United States is doing something wrong, and we're telling the Treasury Secretary to go back and tell the president that we're really mad at him. I've never seen anything like that. This is the biggest economy in the world, the strongest military, the most powerful country, and yet everybody is up against us.
And the irony here is that usually they have trouble formulating that final statement. Now they're all agreeing to target the U.S.
Yeah, the idea of a communique, which is a group message, has gone by the boards. But they did put together a statement of agreement, the six plus one, the G6 plus one. And they were talking about that as the finance minister's meeting. That's definitely what we're going to see up in Canada today.
Our thanks to Michael McKee, Bloomberg International Economics and Policy Correspondent. And we will, of course, be covering that G7 summit for you throughout the day and the weekend here on Bloomberg Radio and on Bloomberg Television. S&P futures down 13 points. That is around 0.5%. 10-year Treasury prices up to 30 seconds. The yield down to 2.9132%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. This is Bloomberg Radio. Daybreak brought to you by Eisner Amper Center for Family Business Excellence. If you're a family-owned business and need support in navigating tough family business decisions, Eisner Amper can help. Learn more at eisneramper.com/family.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1, to Boston, Bloomberg 1061, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Global stocks are lower ahead of the G7 summit in Canada. President Trump will leave early from the meeting, where he'll face backlash over his trade policies and head straight to Singapore to meet with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un.
On the economic front, China's massive trade surplus with the world shrank in May, but not with the United States. The trade gap with the U.S. swelled to $24.6 billion, making up almost all of China's total surplus of $24.9 billion.
China's ZTE has pledged to overhaul its management and culture after striking a deal with the United States. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis has more from Hong Kong.
It's a big mea culpa. In a memo to employees, Chairman Yin Yimin promised to hold relevant people accountable for violating U.S. law. ZTE's candor was similar to withering criticism from state-run media. China National Radio, for instance, warned Chinese firms that they should not be like giant babies and rely on Beijing to bail them out when they run afoul of international laws. Yin said, "We must realize this issue mirrors problems in our compliance culture and management." In Hong Kong, I'm Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Brian. Shares of Apple are down 2% in early trading. The Nikkei newspaper is reporting Apple told its supply chain to prepare 20% fewer components for iPhones in the latter half of this year.
There's a shakeup at the top of BT Group, the former UK phone monopoly. CEO Gavin Patterson will step down later this year after a strategy reset failed to win over investors.
Job cuts may be coming at the world's biggest insulin producer. A Danish newspaper says Novo Nordisk may be looking to eliminate as many as 3,000 jobs. It is now 6:32 on Wall Street, and that is time for your Volatility Index report. The VIX rose yesterday to close at 12.13. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX is up another 8.25% to 13.13. That's this morning's Volatility Report.
Futures this morning are lower. S&P futures are down about 13 points. Dow futures down 128. NASDAQ futures down 62. The DAX in Germany is down 0.7%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32. The yield 2.91%. The yield on the 2-year 2.47%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.6%, down 37 cents to $65.58 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.1%, up $1.10 to $13.04.10 an ounce. And the euro, $1.1752, the yen, 109.27. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. That brings us to 6:33 on Wall Street. This news update brought to you by BNB Bank from Montauk to Manhattan, partnering with business in their financial success. With local decision-making, custom solutions, and attention to detail, BNB Bank. Many success stories, one bank, BNB Bank. Dot com. Blame Canada. The president is tweeting bitter words at our neighbors to the north. Bloomberg's John Tucker now with the latest.
And Bob, even before he leaves for the G summit in Quebec, President Trump ratcheting up tensions with America's allies. In a tweet this morning, the president writes, Canada charges the U.S. a 270% tariff on dairy products. They didn't tell you that, did they? Not fair to our farmers. The president will leave the G7 early to head to a meeting with North Korea's leader. And the Trump administration is trying to assure Americans the president is ready for that summit with North Korea's Kim Jong-un. The meeting takes place Tuesday in Singapore. Thursday, the president said he doesn't think he has to prepare very much, that it's all about attitude. At a news conference at the White House, the Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said he's been briefing the president on North Korea for months.
There have been near daily briefings, including today. Where we have been providing the president all the information that he needs. And I am very confident the president will be fully prepared when he meets with his North Korean counterpart.
Bloomberg has learned that Paul Manafort reached out to executives who'd worked at London-based FBC Communications in his alleged effort to influence their testimony. Manafort, who is President Donald Trump's campaign chairman, was accused this week by the special counsel Robert Mueller of attempted witness tampering. Manafort and an associate called and sent encrypted texts to two individuals earlier this year, attempting to persuade them to characterize the pro-Ukraine lobbying work they had done together years before as limited to Europe to avoid running afoul of U.S. laws. Officials in Hawaii giving an update on the situation around Kilauea volcano. Fast-moving lava flows wiped out two beachfront communities this week. The eruption first began about a month ago. Hawaii County Mayor Harry Kim puts the total estimated number of homes destroyed at 600.
Just 3 days ago, not one home in vacation land was affected. They were not even under threat. And here we have this where I can tell you, unfortunately, 100% of those homes were covered.
Tomorrow is the 150th running of the Belmont Stakes. After winning the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness, Justify will try to become the 13th thoroughbred to capture the Cripple Crown. Trainer Bob Baffert says there's less pressure than there was back in 2015 when his horse American Pharoah broke a nearly four-decade Triple Crown drought.
I'm enjoying this one a little bit more because on Pharoah we knew he was trained really well, but still, you know, there's that doubt, you know, can it be done?
Justify is undefeated. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Bob.
Thank you, John. 6:36 on Wall Street. Time now for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. Good morning, Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Bob. The Washington Capitals are your Stanley Cup champions for the first time in franchise history.
Puck in front, Connolly, what a chance, and they score! They score! The puck on a rebound for Lars Eller! Eller gets the rebound and puts it home, and Washington leads it! The Tiger pouncing at the moment that he can potentially be the hero!
Capitals radio on the call. That turned out to be your game winner as the Caps beat the first-year expansion Las Vegas Golden Knights 4-3 in five games. Conn Smythe winner, your final MVP. Who else but 14-year vet Alex Ovechkin?
I think it's this moment we're waiting a long, long time. You know, it's since day one.
Ovechkin finished the postseason with 15 goals, including one in Game 5. Baseball, the Subway Series starts tonight from Citi Field. First pitch at 7:10. Yankees come in a half game back of the Red Sox, who host the White Sox. Yankees have the fewest losses in baseball, and they're 40-18. Mets, on the other hand, have lost 8 of 10, or 5 games below 500, and in fourth place. Jacob deGrom entertains Masahiro Tanaka. On Sunday, it's your nationally televised game of the week, 8 o'clock, when Noah Syndergaard plays host to Luis Severino. Tennis from Roland Garros, French Open. Semifinals, Marco Cecchinato battles Dominic Thiem at 7 a.m., followed by Rafael Nadal and Juan Martín del Potro at 9:30. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Thank you, Rob Buschka. And we are coming up on 6:38 on Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
In its alarming new report on America's fast-rising suicide rate, the CDC cites many pressures that might lead people to take their own lives, from problems with relationships to housing insecurity. The report also offers several strategies to prevent suicide. States can promote employment, and tackle housing shortages, for example, and healthcare providers can offer treatment online. Employers, schools, and communities can help people feel supported and unashamed to seek help. But there's another prevention strategy that the CDC ignores: stronger gun laws. Suicide requires both motivation and means. In the U.S., firearms are the most commonly used method. Suicide is very often an impulsive act, and a person who contemplates it can readily survive if no lethal weapon is at hand. In 2016, almost 45,000 people killed themselves in the U.S., a 30% increase since 1999. To be sure, states and communities should try harder to lift people out of despair, but limiting high-risk individuals' access to guns would mitigate this epidemic all by itself. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
And Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. It is now 6:39 on Wall Street, and that is time for your Bloomberg Green Business Report. We've got too much carbon dioxide contributing to the warming of the planet, but what if we could put much of it to work to run our cars? A Canadian startup is testing a system that sucks carbon dioxide from the air and converts it into fuel for cars and other vehicles. Carbon Engineering Limited's technique combines several common manufacturing processes, and the company reckons it will eventually be able to produce fuel for about $4 a gallon. With oil prices climbing and U.S. gasoline following suit, that's a price point that could make it a competitive alternative. Many companies have developed ways to make fuel from plants, trees, sugarcane, waste, and other substances instead of petroleum. But the challenge has always been the cost. Carbon Engineering's technique was developed specifically to address this. It combines carbon with hydrogen to make motor fuel through a technique used at pulp mills. The most expensive part is the electricity used to extract hydrogen from water. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. S&P futures down 14 points. This is Daybreak. And your Bloomberg Morning Call is coming up, brought to you by Columbia Bank. With 48 locations across New Jersey, you're never far from Columbia's wide-ranging banking solutions, from personal to business banking to mobile and online. You can always count on Columbia. Visit ColumbiaBankOnline.com.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures moving lower this morning. Let's go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are under pressure on a report that Apple has warned its supply chain about a drop in new orders. Dow futures currently down 160 points. S&P's dropped 16, while the Nasdaq futures declined by 77. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.92%, and Shanghai dropped 1.4% overnight. Well, European markets are also trading lower, led by 1.6% declines in Italy. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 10 o'clock, wholesale inventories. And after the bell last night, Broadcom beat estimates, and Las Vegas Sands increased its share buyback to $2.5 billion. In other news, Tesla's price target raised to $4.50 at Nomura. And more color on that Apple situation. The Nikkei reported that Apple warned its supply chain about a 20% drop in new iPhone parts orders. Apple is down 2% in the pre-market, while AMS is down 7% in Europe. Wrapping things up, Penn National was upgraded to overweight at J.P. Morgan, and Quest Diagnostics upgraded to outperform at William Blair. Live from the First Rebecca News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thanks, Bill. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
Hi, thank you, Karen. President Trump will leave early from the Group of Seven summit in Quebec, where he'll face a backlash over his trade policies and head straight to Singapore to meet with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. Tweeting this morning, the president writes, "Looking forward to straightening out unfair trade deals within the G7 countries. If it doesn't happen, we come out even better." The federal government won't defend federal law. The Justice Department has sided with Texas in a lawsuit against Obamacare. If Texas wins the lawsuit, it could eviscerate the ACA. Bloomberg Sports, the Capitals win their first ever Stanley Cup. Baseball, the Mets host the Yankees tonight. Last night, the Red Sox and Orioles lost, and the A's won. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Bob.
John, thanks very much. Now 6:49 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. And some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Trump heading to the G7 summit in Quebec, where he'll face backlash over trade. Then it's on to Singapore. Mr. Trump will leave Canada to travel to talks with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. Meantime, we're learning more about Paul Manafort's alleged witness tampering efforts. Here to break all this down for us is Bloomberg Television and Radio Chief Washington Correspondent Kevin Cirilli, who joins us from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington. Kevin, good morning. Let's start with the G7 summit in Quebec. And first of all, let me ask you if you have your Twitter app open. I'd like to have you read that pretty belligerent tweet aimed squarely at Canada this morning.
Yeah, it is pretty belligerent. Just 24 minutes ago, President Trump tweeting, quote, Canada charges the U.S. a 270% tariff on dairy products. They didn't tell you that, did they? Not fair to our farmers. He then went on to tweet within the last half hour, looking forward to straightening out unfair trade deals with the G7 countries. If it doesn't happen, we come out even better. That would be a signal that he's not looking to continue with NAFTA. And in fact, earlier this week, Larry Kudlow, President Trump's senior economic advisor, describing the G7 summit, laying the stage as a quote-unquote family quarrel. But President Trump will depart for Quebec. He will spend less than 24 hours there. He will have a working lunch with French President Emmanuel Macron, and then he will attend other working lunches. But he will depart for Singapore ahead of the North Korea summit with North Korea leader Kim Jong-un on June 12th. He'll depart before the G7 countries as a whole agree to a joint statement and a communique. That would suggest that the U.S. very well might not be signed on to that communique. And it also suggests, again, that the NAFTA deal is quickly deteriorating. From a policy standpoint, I would just quickly note, should the president withdraw from NAFTA, he would have to give a six-month notice, and it would fall back on the U.S.-Canada relationship between a bilateral agreement that the U.S. and Canada had predating NAFTA.
This is what I think they call an inauspicious start. What sort of reception is the president going to receive from his host, Mr. Trudeau?
You know, look, I think that we've seen this time and time again in the sense that the president does have a positive working relationship on the issues of national security with all of these leaders. But it's frosty, putting it mildly, between other world leaders. And I think that the Prime Minister Trudeau and President Trump have exchanged increased brash rhetoric on NAFTA in particular within the last 10 days. It's been increased and ratcheted up, to so to speak. So, you know, look, it's a quick trip for President Trump. It's also, quite frankly, not the trip that the administration is primarily focused on ahead of June 12th.
So the president then heads to Singapore early for talks with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. What shape do we expect those talks to take, or is it just too unpredictable to expect anything?
Well, there's two things that I would note. Yesterday at the White House press conference in the Rose Garden, the president telling us reporters that he has additional sanctions ready to go should the North Koreans not cooperate. He said he had about 300 more. He also continued to lay out his case, and that's what I would note, is that his case is additional sanctions if they don't cooperate. If they do cooperate, the potential for North Korea leader Kim Jong-un to visit the White House, which would be remarkable, and also the lifting or easing back of U.S. sanctions. The second point that I would make, and this was new, was when Secretary of State Mike Pompeo addressed reporters later that very afternoon in the White House Brady briefing room. And what he told us was essentially he has met with North Korea leader Kim Jong-un twice, and he has received assurances that Kim Jong-un is, quote-unquote, willing to denuclearize, and that he feels, the Secretary of State feels, that the North Korea leader has understood that there has to be a need to go, quote-unquote, big and bold. That's how Secretary Pompeo described it. So the administration, you know, they say that this is just going to be the first in a series of meetings and a series of conversations, but if they were looking to do anything but lower expectations, I'm not sure they lowered expectations yesterday, and it would suggest that they really want to have a successful, non-flippant type of meeting, and it would also suggest that the president is satisfied with one of the G7 countries who is very caught up in all this, okay. President Xi Jinping.
And less than a minute left here. Update us on the Mueller Manafort investigation.
Well, look, the Bob Mueller's team has argued in court filings, not in charges, so it's just in court filings at this point, that previous Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort has tampered with witnesses in an effort to essentially get out of his charges, and that he's tried to reach out to them to get their story in line with his. Paul Manafort is charged with conspiring against the United States, very aggressive charges. His lawyer released a statement that said he maintains his innocence, but, you know, the Mueller probe and it continues, and Paul Manafort in a lot of serious legal trouble.
Bloomberg Television and Radio Chief Washington Correspondent Kevin Cirilli, thanks very much for joining us from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington. And you can read more about these stories, of course, on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. It is now 6:55 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
I'm Ramesh Paniru, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. A new report from the United Nations Human Rights Council savages the United States for neglecting extreme poverty and human rights. It's a simplistic and one-sided document. The UN report asserts that the recently enacted tax cut overwhelmingly benefited the wealthy, even though the Joint Tax Committee found that, in fact, it cut federal taxes for each income group roughly in proportion to how much they pay. The report dismisses concerns that features of our welfare programs are counterproductive and treats the welfare reforms of the 1990s as a humanitarian disaster. It ignores the evidence that poverty in America is declining. We could use a thoughtful analysis of how to build on what has worked in American anti-poverty policy and how to reform what hasn't. Instead of giving us that, the UN has instead once again wasted our tax dollars. I'm Ramesh Paniru. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or O-P-I-N go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time. Right now, U.S. futures are moving lower. Shares of Apple lower as well, down more than 2% in early trading. The move follows a Nikkei report that Apple told its supply chain to prepare for 20% fewer iPhone components later this year. Meanwhile, in China, one of Apple's most important production partners debuted in Shanghai with a $4.3 billion IPO today. Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie has that story from Beijing.
Foxconn Industrial soared by the maximum 44% in Shanghai on its opening day, becoming the largest tech company listed in mainland China. The business is now more valuable than eBay, with a market cap of over $60 billion. Foxconn says it's focused on robotics, wireless technology and cloud computing, with clients including Amazon, Dell and Cisco. Up to 30% of its revenue comes from Apple alone. The company's strategic investor list reads like a who's who of China's top firms, including Alibaba, Tencent and Baidu. State-owned companies also took a large slice of the pre-IPO pie. They're betting on Foxconn Industrial being the linchpin in China's new smart economy. Tom McKenzie, Bloomberg, Beijing.
All right, Tom, thank you. And again, S&P futures down 15 points this morning. Dow futures down 153, and NASDAQ futures are down 73. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 2.91%. Right now, 2.9095%. And the yield on the two-year, 2.47%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.5%. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow coming up on Bloomberg Radio. For our listeners in Washington, D.C., Bloomberg Daybreak continues. For Bob Moon, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.